In Yerideya we find a series of halachas which are under the title of Macholei Akom, different halachas which pertain to the foods that we eat and that were prepared by the Goyim. And Chazal felt that as we go into Golos, or while we're in Golos, in order to keep us separated from the Goyim and not to come to mingle with them and not to come to marry their daughters and their daughters will marry our sons, to keep away from intermarriage, we need to put up certain barriers between ourselves. And when it comes to food, it's an easy way of appreciation to each other, which brings a closeness to each other that could cause this worry that Chazal had of intermarriage. One of those dinim are pas akum, which means that Chazal asked us to eat the bread that was baked by a guy. Some Rishonim learn that it's all dependent on who baked the bread, which means even if a Jew made the dough but was baked by a guy, it's aser. And this is the way the Shach and the Mechaber and the Ramah seem to go, which means if the guy prepared the dough, even if he braided the dough but the Jew baked the bread, then there would be no iser. There is a Shita Saran, which is the aser, even if the guy kneaded the dough and also he did the braiding of the dough, and even though it was baked by a Jew, the Ran will hold that it's aser. However, it's mevor in the Gemara that even though Chazal asked us to eat the pas of the guy, but to benefit from the pas of the guy is permitted, and therefore be mutter to sell bread of a guy to anyone who wants to buy it, even if it's to a Yisrael, as long as you make it known to him that this is pas akum. Now, what was the reason for Chazal's takana? Why were Chazal guys on the bread of a guy? They're worried because of chasnus, that we shouldn't come to mingle with them. Bread is something which is the mainstay. People live off bread. People have a certain appreciation to the baker or to the one that baked the bread for us. And in order to prevent us to come to marry with them, Chazal said we should not eat from their bread. As the Chacham Sadim writes, Liyos nivdal mehem betachles ahevdel, to be separated from them to its fullest extent of separation. It's mevor in the Rajman Chuvis that even in a case where there's no worry of chasnus, for example, the Komrim, the priest, also because of a loy plug, one is not allowed to eat the bread of the Komrim. The Shach writes, and not only that, even if the guy has no daughter to marry off, but they made a general gezerah because of the girls of the Goyim that one could come to mingle with, therefore they made a straight loy plug. This is true even if the guy is not even Avodah Zarah. It's the chashash of his chasnus alone. There is a discussion about a mumer Yisrael, one who is characterized as a mumer, even though we do find in other areas of halacha he may have a din like a guy. However, when it comes to the bread of a mumer Yisrael, it's mutta because the whole chashash chasnus does not apply to the mumer of Yisrael, a Jewish mumer. There are achrayim that are chaylik on this, because there's another reason given for the gezerah of Pasakum, which is that we're worried that perhaps they're going to feed the Jew, Machalas Asuris, we'll come close to him, he'll eat his bread, and before you know it, you'll be spending time eating supper by him, and he may feed you Machalas Asuris. So this is a machlekes, how do we view a Mumer Yisrael? Many paiskim amekel, and they do not give him a din of a goy for this halacha of Pasakum. Now, we will find in the halachas of Bishul Akum that there's a difference whether the type of food is what's called Oila al Shulchan Melachim, is it served at a fancy banquet or not. However, over here, in the halachas of Pas Akum, this plays no role. So even if it's a type of bread that's never brought onto the table of the kings, it's not served at a fancy banquet, there will be, over here, it will be included in the dinim of Pas Akum. The other paiskim bring down, also paiskim bring down that the iser of pas, and also we'll see bishul, is also possible in the house of a Jew. A guy baking bread in the house of the Jew would also be included in this iser. There's an interesting chiddush that perhaps if one is eating bread of a guy and he doesn't realize that this is bread that was baked by a guy, that another person does not have to inform him of this. if the whole chashash is that you're going to come to show your appreciation to the goy, and this could lead to chasnus, but when I don't know that a goy has baked this bread, I think it's a Jewish bread, then why does anyone have to sell it to us? To the extent that some Pesachim discuss, why don't we have goyim bake the bread, and then just package it in a Jewish package, and no one will ever know. However, this heter is not accepted, and goes into the klal of that they made gzeira on Pasachim. Now, when we talk about pas, what's defined as pas? What's included in this category of pas? What the Chazal aser? So one thing is clear is bread that was made from the five mini dagen, from the five grains, because of their chashivas, it brings a certain closeness between each other. A dough, a bread that was made from rice, or another type of kidneys, over there is no iser pas akum. Question is, does it fall into the category of bishul akum? That's a discussion in the Mechaber, Ramah, and other Paiskim. If I have a mixture, I have a dough which is a mixture, made up of a mixture from the five types of grains and also other grains. So this is by this we go after the roiv, after the majority. Even though in challah we say that the grains are the ikar, even if it's not the roiv. But when it comes to pas akum, we go lekula and we say we go basa the roiv. Now, it seems that Paiskim also go with that anything that you would make, you would make a berachas hamaitzi in some type of scenario. It has the shame pass, a type of mezainis which has the shame pass above a kisnin, because there is a scenario where it's possible that this would be a berachas hamaitzi that's considered pass. So therefore, all different types of pastries, cookies, cakes, pretzels, even though their doughs are mixed with honey or sugar, but since if one would be kovea suda on them, he would make hamaiti. Therefore, it's considered a pas, as included in the issur pas akum for its kulas and chumris. There are types of mezainis which are filled with fruit or fillings, and there may be a discussion that on the dough of the pastry will be included in pas akum, but perhaps the filling, the fruit, which is the filling, may have a din of bishul akum with the din of bishul akum. A donut. There are two types of donuts. There's a yeast donut, which is baked, that has a din of mezainis, like we mentioned before, fits in the category of pas above a kisnin. But then there's a donut, which is dough that was a soft batter and it was fried in oil. It wasn't baked in an oven. That has no din pas and will be included in the halachas of bishul akum, and will lose the kulas of pas akum. What are the kulas by pas? So the Torah brings down that since pas was chayei nefesh, was the livelihood of a person, back in the days not so long ago, every meal that a person sat down to, they would start off with bread. There was no such thing just sitting down to eat chicken, potatoes, and vegetables. It began with bread. So bread was chayei nefesh. So therefore we found that they made certain kulas. And one of the coolest is that in a place where a Jewish baker is not common, Chazal will make and will matter what's called pas palter. Pas palter means bread from a baker, a goyish baker. Why? Because there's much less of a worry of chasnus with a baker who's making it to sell, to do commercial, than with a bal habayis, a private person who baked bread for himself or to give out. But by a baker who is doing it for his parnasa, for his umnis, so eating his bread won't bring to such a closeness between the two. And therefore, the Ramah and the Shach quote that even in a place where Jewish bread is common, but the bread of the goy is yafa mimena, is better, and this could be for one of many reasons, it looks better, tastes better, it's substantially cheaper, but for whatever reason, it's yafa mimeno, one could be mekel. This kula of pas akum really goes back to the days of the Tanoim, when the gzera was made, that it did not spread out into all, not all places accepted this iser. It's a sort of gzera that's referred to as gzera she'en rov hatziv yechol la'amid bo, like I explained, the importance of bread to people. And therefore, a later Bezdin was able to come to Mevatel, because it was never originally accepted fully. However, the later Bezdins that saw need to be Mekel did not want to be Mevatel completely, so they just added on more kulas. And therefore, in a place where there is no baker, one would be mutter, would be permitted to buy even bread from a private guy. Now, there were places where they were makbid not to eat any pas of a guy, even if it's a pas palta, even if it's from a baker. And the Kavach Chaim brings down that pichach me'akabala, one should not eat the pas of a guy. The Darkei Tshuva brings a similar idea down from Reb Chaim Vital. Now, what defines something as pas palter, and what defines something as pas balabayis? Pas palter is what he baked to sell to others. Pas balabayis is what he baked for himself or to give out to his family. And it makes no difference whether he is a baker or not. It all depends on why he baked. What was his intention when he baked? The Shach brings down that there were places that were makel, because the Isser was not a special, like we mentioned, and therefore they were makel even to eat from the bread that was baked by a balabayas. However, he does end off, and this is the way the place can take on, that one should only be makel in a place where the pas of Yisrael is not metzuya, is not common, or the pas of the Akum is yafa mimena, in some way it's better than the pas of the guy. The Mechaber does go more l'chumrov here, and he holds, even if one doesn't have bread, one should not eat from the private baker, from the private person who baked the bread, except if it's a case of koch nefesh. But the Rama is more mekel, and he says, in need, one could even eat from the bread that was baked by a private guy for himself and for his family, especially if there is no baker in the city, and like we mentioned, because the Issa wasn't really so nespashit. Now, the Shach does say that a Baal Nefesh should be machmir himself and not to buy pasakum at all, even from a baker, but that's like what we mentioned before, there were places that had that minik. Now, since it's mutter to buy, it's also mutter. Once it's mutter to buy pas of akum, it's mutter to buy as much, as many as you may need, even if it's more than kidei chaye nefesh, even if it's more than what you literally need to just stay alive. Once you're buying, you can buy more, even though there were those that were machmer, not to buy more than chayi nefesh. However, the general minig is that one could buy to fulfill his heart's content. If one bought pas alkum in a place where the night to be makel, and then he went to a place where the night to be machmer, so then he should be machmer and not eat it. What happens if there's a chash that perhaps the bread of the guy got mixed with the bread of a Jew? And so here there's a discussion if there's kulas or not. Now all these heterim that we've mentioned of buying bread from a geisha baker or going to a geisha store and buying bread which was baked by a geisha baker, all these heterim are only if there's no cheshash that perhaps there's iser mixed into the bread. It was known until recently that bread is made up of flour and water, and some salt. That was how bread was made. Maybe some oil. It was basically made with very basic ingredients that were usually kosher. However, if there is a chash of tarevis of iser, which nowadays there seems to be a chash, many places, even those places like in France, where the French baguette was known to be, according to the law, simple flour and water. But it has been discovered that some places use lard, which is not kosher, or they bake it in ovens, which may have bleis of iser. So one needs to know that there's a heksha on the bread, that it's the ingredients, and it's being baked in a kosher way. Then, once there's a heksha on it, that is being baked in a kosher way, then, even though it was baked by a guy, that's where the kulas will kick in. Now, that which they will matter to the mat, the pass of a guy, is only if the dough belonged to the guy. If, let's say, we have dough of a Jew that a guy baked, that would be asa b'achila. We don't apply the term that we mentioned. Even if the guy is a baker, he bakes in a bakery, there is no heta, because on that we give it the din of bishul akum. The din of Bishul Akum, which in Bishul Akum, there is no heter of a baker, of a professional chef. Professional chef is not a heter by Bishul Akum. So again, the heter we mentioned is when the dough belongs to the guy. If the dough belongs to a Jew, even if it was a guyish, a baker who baked it, for example, There are many small cities out there where the owner of the bakery is a Jew, a Jewish owner, but he has Goyish workers there. The Goyim work in the bakery and they're baking the breads. That will have a din of Bishul Akum, which we're not going to apply the simple heterim of pas Akum. Now there is a tshuva from Rav Moshe in Yerdei Chelik Aleph, where he does bring down the B'shasat Chak. There may be room to be makel in such a case. And another tshuva, he says, is better to be machmir, since it's easy to hire Jewish workers. But when it's difficult and very difficult, so then we could be matter this with the Eta Paspalter. If the bakery belongs to a guy and Jews do the malacha, then it's mutal chatchila to buy from their bread. The Avnei Nezer speaks about a guy who baked bread with kavana, with intent to sell some of them in the market and some of them to keep for himself. So he says, and what he takes for himself, that is a din on pas baal habayis, which is more stringent, more chomer. When he sells to others, has a din of pas palt. However, the Kav Chai brings on the Ben Ishchai to ask all the bread like the din of pas baal habayis, because since what's being left over is for the baal habayis, so therefore on all the bread there is somewhat a shame pas baal habayis. A guy who bought pas of Yisrael, it's mutter for Yisrael to buy from him afterwards this bread that the guy bought from a Jew, because we go after who baked the bread. In a city where there's a Jewish baker, but there's not enough for all the Jews in the city, he doesn't bake enough for everyone in the city. So over here, it's mutter to buy from the non-Jew baker, and you don't have to wait until the Jewish bakery runs out of bread. According to the Mechaber, where he speaks about where if one bought bread from a non-Jewish baker while the Jewish baker still had bread, Mechaber says it's us to eat the bread until the Jewish baker finishes to sell his bread, or until the Jewish baker leaves the city. So then, perhaps according to the Mechaber, there's more room to the Machmer over here. But the general meaning by the Ashkenazim is that we could then rely on the Goyisha baker and buy the bread from the Goyisha baker as long as it's kosher. If one bought bread from a guy when there was no Jewish baker in the city, and he still has bread left over from this non-Jewish baker, it's mutter for him to eat from it, even if now a Jewish baker comes to town and starts to sell Jewish baked bread. Similarly, we find that if the day after Pesach, the Jew did not have a chance to bake yet, it's mutter to buy from the Goyisha baker, even though later today, the Jewish bakery will have bread, or tomorrow will have bread. Now, like we mentioned before, the meaning is that if you're in a city where there are Goyisha bakers and Jewish bakers, so besides the union of supporting the Jews, but if the Jewish bread is more meshuvach in taste or look or cost, so then one could go ahead and buy from the non-Jewish bakery. There's an interesting story with Rav Eliashiv. A person came to Rav Eliashiv and he asked him, I'm moving out to out of town city where over there the Pas Yisrael is going to cost me more than the Pas Akum, and it will be a cost of 10 cents a day more. Rav Eliashiv said, better buy the Pas Yisrael. Another person came to Rav Eliashiv and said, I'm moving out of town and the cost of buying Pas Yisrael will be more than the Pass of the Akum by $150 a year. So Rav Eliashiv said, you could buy the Pass Akum. What this means is, it depends on the person's look. If you look at each day by the day, 10 cents, okay, that's not such a difference in order to be able to buy the Pass Akum. But if you look at it as a whole year, as a whole sum, that's the type of person you are, so then to you it's a big difference, it's a substantial amount of a difference, so then you could buy the Pas Akum. Now, there is a discussion about yeast of a guy that was made from a dough of a guy. Does that give it a din Pas Akum? Now, there are times of the year where we find that we're more careful from eating Pas Akum than the rest of the year. the Mishnah Brura, it's in Reish Mem Beis, in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, brings down that on Shabbos and Yontif, one should be more careful. There are those that are machmer during the Suda, not to have Pas Akum, even though for Lecha Mishnah, you could use a Pas Akum for Lecha Mishnah, but to eat it during the Suda, there is an inyan to be machmer. That's on Shabbos and Yontif. We also find that during Aser Simei Tshuva, one should be careful not to eat Pas Akum. It's considered Pas Akum, even though during the year we are Mekel, but on Aser Simei Tshuva, one should be more Nog Natu. Now, when we talk about Pas Yisrael, what defines something as a Pas Yisrael? So the Mechaber tells us that Pas Nochri is if the guy made the entire baking of the bread. But if the Yisrael was involved in one of the parts, one of the jobs of the baking, for example, he lit the fire, he turned on the oven, or he put the bread in the oven, or he added some heat to the coals, so then it's no longer considered Pas Akum. And this helps also for Pas Baal Bayis. Another Kula Darach HaShulchan brings down that even if he only threw a piece of wood, a small twig, into the oven, or he blew at the fire, which raised the fire, the bread that's now being baked in this oven is Pas Yisrael. That addition of wood, or blowing at the fire, which added heat to it, brought it closer to its final baking, it did a change over there, and therefore it is considered Pas Yisrael. However, there are those that are not Seimach on this Kula, except Pishas Tadchak, and therefore, best would be if the Jew turns on the oven, or raises the fire, or puts the bread into the oven, to make it into Pas Yisrael. When it comes to Bishul Akum, so there are some differences over here. Now, Bishul literally means cooking. Cooking could be a general term, or it could be a literal term for boiling. But included in this takana and this gezeira is preparation with source of heat, whether it's cooking, baking, frying, roasting, and electric ovens. However, salting, soaking, pickling, smoking, and drying out in the sun are not included in the gezeira. Again, the reason for this gezeira is also in order to be merachik us, to separate us, to further us from mingling with the goyim, and also not to come to have parties with them, and then they'll serve us machalis asuris. Over here also we have a discussion about a mumar l'chalosh habasis. Do we give him a din of a goy for the halachas of Bishul Akum? And over here, Rav Moshe took on that even though there are those that are machmer, however, we could be noig lahakal and not to asrit. There is a discussion whether there is a het of a palter over here by Bishul Akum, as we heard earlier by Pas Akum, and there were achronim that were matter Bishul that was taken place by a palter, by a chef. However, most achronim achoylik on this and hold halacha l'maisa that there is no heta by Bishul Akum of a palter, and therefore it will aser just like a private guy cooking. Rav Moshe has a heta which could be used b'shas tzchak when it comes to factories where there are so many people working there, and you'll never get to know who the worker was, so there's room to be mekel. In a case of need, we could either use as a tziruf. If we have other reasons to be mekel, we can use those achrim that hold that palter applies to bishul, and we can use Rav Moshe's heter of factories. There's a heter which we find by Pas Akum, which is mishum eva, if the guy will get angry and really upset. But by Bishul Akum, we do not have that heter. What's included in the issa Bishul Akum? Is it all foods? Only specific foods. There are two conditions. Condition number one is oila al shulchan malachim. Literally, what goes on the table of the kings. What kings are we talking about? Jewish kings, non-Jewish kings. Discussion back and forth between the paiskim. Another discussion is kings of nowadays or earlier days. What are we referring to? Kings in my place or even in a different place. And the askam of the paiskim is that we're referring to each zman. It's totally in the zman and totally in the makom. What's considered chashuv. As Rav Moshe would say, what's served at a fancy banquet. If this is a type of food that's served at a fancy banquet, this is what's considered oila al shulchan melachim. And we go after the place and the time that you're in. Now, the second tanai is einei nechel chai. It's not eaten raw. If this is fit to be eaten raw, then the cooking process is not choshev, or it's as if he didn't cook it. I didn't need him to cook it. This again is totally in the meaning of roiv people. Do roiv people eat this raw or not? Even if you eat it raw, but if roiv people do not eat it raw, they cook it, your das is batal to their das. Similarly, the other way around also. If he eats it and roiv people, I'm sorry, if he does not eat it raw and roiv people do eat it raw, we consider this nechel chai. Now, there are many different questions that come up in when we're judging what's considered nechel chai. Again, in some places they eat it raw, some places they don't eat it raw. It could be eaten raw, ayyideh hadchak. If I needed to, I would eat it raw, but I'd prefer, or it tastes better, eaten cooked. And then even more complicated questions come up. I may have a type of food that this type of food is served at a fancy banquet, but not the way I prepared it. You have potato chips. You have different types of potatoes, cooked, fried, and we do serve cooked potatoes. Does that mean all potatoes, even if it's prepared in a way that would not be served at a fancy banquet? How do we view that? Many Paiskim hold, we view it in its way of preparation. If cooked potatoes are served at a fancy banquet or on the table of a king, then all cooked potatoes are included in this halacha. If fried potatoes are served, then all fried potatoes. Whether the specific way of frying it is the way they do it for the fancy banquet or not, that makes no difference. If the food was taken, and this is the type of food that could be eaten raw, but through the cooking process it was dissolved and changed that the texture of the fruit is not recognizable, for example like applesauce, on that we say it's muta to eat it and there is no bishlakum. If it's not roy, it's not fit to be brought on the Shulchan Malachim, unless it's spiced up and really worked on, and then the guy cooked it and he didn't spice it up that way, many places can hold that this is included in the Isser of Bishalakum. However, if you have something that's not eaten, something that's eaten raw, or not oil al Shulchan Malachim, on that there is no Bishalakum. And it's mashmeh many paiskim, the mitzar ha-din, it's mutar lechatchila, to ask the guy to cook these things for you. There may be a midas chasidus not to, but mitzar ha-din, it is mutar to lechatchila, ask the guy to cook this for you. Now, there are many other pratim, as we mentioned, that there could be different other scenarios of types of foods. Are they considered nechochai or not considered nechochai? Are they considered oil al-shulchan malachim? Not considered oil al-shulchan malachim? You have certain foods which are not choshev. You don't normally serve it at a suda when you're inviting your friend. Are these included or not included? Does it have to be a type of food that's eaten at a bread meal or not? Each one of these are discussions in Paiskim, which we don't have the time now to go through. There's another discussion if they have a lot of canned foods that were steamed, cooked, after it was already in the can with steam, they cooked what was in there. Is that called bishul or not called bishul? Frozen food that was cooked by a Jew may be reheated by the guy. That's not a problem. Food that was made for refuah, even if it is oil al shulchan malachim, it's not eaten raw, it's mutzah to buy from the guy. If one's in a situation where they don't have what to eat, and they need to come on to the food of the guy, as long as it's not machalis asurais, there may be room to be mekel. What happens if I have a guy cooking and a Jew watching him, a Jew standing over him? Is that enough or not? So the Paiskim say that that's not enough. However, if he's cooking in the Jew's house, then there is a discussion in the Rishonim if there is the Isser Bishalakum or not. Except the psak is that there is bishalakum. However, when it comes to elderly people or not well people that need aides in their house, and these aides are non-Jewish, and they're cooking the food for the elderly person or the ill person, So then there's room to be matir and to be samech on these paiskim that are makel in the bayis of the Israel. If the guy cooked the food without the intention of cooking, for example, he lit the oven without knowing that there was food in the oven, or there was a blackout, and Friday night, and I called the guy to come to fix my fuse, and by him flipping the fuse up, which the guy thought he's just helping me out with my lights, because that's what I spoke to him about. Meanwhile, the fire went on my hot plate, and now it's cooking the food. There's no problem. It's only when there's kavana from the guy, and the guy does it with kavana to cook. Any food which already has reached the shear of Yatza Ledizba by a Jew, there's no bishul after that. Therefore, we said, warming up the food, furthering its cooking process, won't be a problem. If there's a mixture of foods, with some foods which could be also because of bishul akum, with foods that cannot be also because of bishul akum, we go back to the main food. So if you have two foods, where one that was cooked already by a Jew, one was now being cooked by the guy, we'll go basa the roiv or basa the ikker. If there's in the mixture from the 5 minute dagam, since by hilchas bracha that always takes precedence, that's the ikker. So too by taroivis, we'll also go basa the ikker, which is the from the taroivis of the 8 minute dagam. When you have vegetables cooking with meat, so the vegetables will become asa, since the meat is the ikker and it's not nechel chai, it's not eaten raw, unless there's 60 times in the vegetables are 60 times the volume of the meat, then we won't ask for the vegetables. You'll just take the meat out if it's you can find it and eat the vegetables. Some say that by bishul akum we go basa the roiv, and we say bittel beroiv. There's a discussion in the Mechaber about bishul akum that took place beiser. Does the pot become aser? Mechaber brings down a daya that if the guy cooked in the pot, the pot becomes asa and asa to use it until you do hagala. And that's the way we take on Ikra Adin. There are certain kulas in how to kasha this pot. Therefore, if this happens, one should be in contact with their Rav, what to do. There's a discussion about a microwave. As we mentioned earlier, there needs to be this source of heat that should be coming from a fire. How do we treat microwaves? The Maisa, many places can write, including Rav Moshe, that we're not going to be makel by a microwave. Discussion about the guy pouring hot water over the coffee or the tea from a klirishin. Is that bishul akum or not? Except the psak by many paiskim is to be makel, and that's the minik to be makel. There's a discussion about a chayla shein basakana on Shabbos, where it's permitted to ask a guy to cook for the chayla. And now the remaining food that the chayla did not eat, can a Jew eat that? Matzei Shabbos, can he eat that food or not? Do we give it a din of bishul akum? There seems to be a steer in the Mishnah Berurah and different tirtum to answer this. I wish everyone a wonderful and a happy Purim and much success in wherever we are, to be able to recognize the beauty of being a Yid and how we have to be separate from a guy. There are more takanos that Chazal made, such as not having parties with goyim, not drinking beer with goyim, and wine parties could be sometimes an issue. There are certain heterim, perhaps for business, but otherwise there are halachis about it. And we find other halachis concerning these dinim, and everyone should have a wonderful Frelichim Purim.